right, it's time for our annual. I don't know. I feel like we probably do one of these every year before opening day, except it's after opening day, but before the other opening day podcast.
That was a really tremendous introduction, Matthew. I don't think anything could be. Well, how long have we been podcasting? Even 2, 3 years ish.
I don't know. It's much like falling with the Mariners or blowing about the Mariners. After about 3 months, it's just this gray mass of time.
And I'm pretty sure we've only ever done like 4 podcasts anyway. We just spaced them out really well.
I just everything about the Mariners just changes. Well, no, that's not going well. What I'm trying to do is an analogy to our cloud cover here in the Pacific Northwest, because I'm looking outside and it was kind of sunny when I woke up at 7, and now it's all foreboding and gray. Can it actually still be counted as foreboding when it's the weather that happens every day? God, I need vitamin D.
When last Saturday, when I woke up, early on a Saturday morning, and it was like bright outside, and I'm like, holy shit, it's going to be a nice day. I'm going to like excitedly get out of bed and get ready, and we can go do something outside. Then as soon as I was all ready, go do something outside, I got shitty for the rest of the day. And it's like, well, I mean, so basically what you did, weather, was get me out of bed early on a Saturday and then leave me hanging. So now I'm already up, so I can't go back to sleep, and now you're terrible. So
brunch?
All blog is what I wound up doing.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, that would have been kind of annoying, but also I like it when I get up really early on weekends.
Well, no,
I don't like the process of it, but once I'm up, I'm like, sweet, I have an entire day.
Right. No, I enjoy that, but I would prefer that entire day to be spent outside, and I prefer to be outside when it's not terrible.
Yeah, clearly. But there's kind of nothing. I don't know. I'd rather have the day be terrible and me up at like 8 a.m. than the day be kind of nice and me be up at 11:30.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, ugh, it's almost already. I mean, it's like once it's past noon, it's like it's no longer early anymore. And then I kind of feel like, oh, I got to get stuff done.
Oh, God. Like Sunday afternoons are the worst.
Yeah. And then it's not as fun because it's like, this is not relaxing. I feel pressured to get stuff done on my weekend in order to, like, you need to enjoy your weekend. And then also, if it's nice out and I don't get up until 11:30, I'm like, fuck, I missed all the good weather. I could have been up early and enjoying this. Instead, I was enjoying sleeping, but, you know, not consciously enjoying it.
It's 1:30 on a Saturday. Enjoy this right now.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of how I feel.
I am pressure on you. Yeah. Like, I think Saturdays are great, especially getting up early on a Saturday. And if you can do that, have a whole Saturday. But then Sunday, as soon as it's like 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, it's like, well, it's Monday now is basically what it feels like. There is no more. I hope you enjoyed your Sunday because it's over. If you woke up late and went to brunch, well, that was all of the remainder of your weekend.
Yeah. Basically, there's enough time to like do a load of laundry and wash a dish is what's going through my mind with the next 9 hours somehow still that I have before Monday comes around.
I saw a commercial yesterday and I did for some product. I think it was like a lawn furniture. I don't know why that would have a commercial. But regardless, the commercial was that there was this family who was having like typical, I guess, weekly family Sunday afternoon picnic in their yard or something. It's like, oh, look how happy and relaxed they are. Too bad those people don't exist because Sundays are the worst. Sundays are only better than Mondays. But, God, the second half of Sunday is just dreadful. I don't know why I'm complaining because I just have to wake up and write about baseball the next day. But, well, you know what? I'm not going to complain. Never mind.
No. It's just as annoying as any other office job.
Yeah.
Except, like, really bad office jobs.
It is a restriction on the freedom that I feel like I should have as a human, but of course nobody has. I just want to roam. I just want to roam the wilderness.
We should abolish money.
This is Look at Lenin Anarchist podcast.
Everything would be fine if we just returned to a dirt-based economy. Except God, then our cities would be screwed. Oh no, asphalt.
I've always wanted to be a druid.
They seem to know what was going on. I mean, not really, but their life seemed kind of okay.
Let's just go back to not knowing enough to know that alchemy isn't like possible, and then we just all try to be alchemists.
That's just stupid, though. That's such a waste of time. I mean, I know we're talking about baseball right now, but at least it's not
we're
alchemy.
We're not talking about baseball. We're talking about alchemy and druids.
Well, I mean, ostensibly, we collectively talk about baseball or write about baseball. Or yeah. Do we?
It's we all do. Layered, man. It is all allegories. Everything I've ever written has been about fish, actually. I don't know. It's all about the whaling. I'm like fucking Herman Melville. Just nobody's like Melville. I have to wait to be dead 50 years before anybody recognizes me.
Right. About the whaling. You're a lot more readable than Melville.
Oh, God. I was reading The Art of Fielding by Chad Harbach, the baseball book that came out last year, and it took place. It was set at a small liberal arts college called Westish College, which was in some state that's terrible, and it was the team was named the Harpooners because blah, 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 Herman Melville.
Yeah.
Tied in. He had allegedly given a lecture at the school in the past in the fictional book that I was reading. It's like, okay, so you named your school after basically Herman Melville, and you honor Herman Melville, and you have a statue of Herman Melville on the quad overlooking the lake. But it's like, but Herman Melville is really not a joy. It's like having their rival be the James Joyce University School of Unreadability. And like the team nickname is, I guess, like the Wingdings or something, because there's just no parsing. That would be awesome.
That would be the opposite of the Harpooners. I don't know.
All right, I have a new team name for the Seattle basketball or hockey team.
The Wingdings?
The Wingdings. And the logo is just like typewriter airplane tower.
Is that like a little bit of a 9/11 reference there too?
Should have gone tower airplane. Yeah. Either way, tower and airplane next to each other, just not. So my car is...
Much like an airplane crashing into a tower, Mike Karp injured himself.
Mike Karp falling crashed down horizontally into a turf surface.
Yes.
Surface, if you will. And he injured his shoulder. And what was interesting, so when he hurt himself, it was like, oh, Mike Karp's hurt. That means Carlos Figueroa. That's too bad, basically. But Karp will be back soon. So that's good, basically. But now we have this word that Franklin Gutierrez is going to be back sooner, which is weird because we kind of figured that Gutierrez would be out until May, probably, because he'd have to spring training again. But now, to say that he's ahead of Karp is good for Goody, and also bad for Karp, but then...
Well, it's not necessarily good for Goody.
Right.
It could just be really bad for Karp. That's the thing. Like, it's the way everybody, the reporters, coached it, and I'm sure the medical staff that relayed it coached it in very positive terms. Like, Gutierrez is really close, and he's ahead of Karp in rehab, actually. It's like, oh, well... But that's not good. Karp was supposed to be back like next week before the home opener, which is in eight days. What day? It's Thursday.
It kind of reminds me of the way, and we'll talk about this later, but it reminds me of the way people are talking about Felix's missing velocity. Like, oh, it's fine. Like, he's still Felix and he's throwing well. The velocity will be there. It's like, no, but see, here's the thing where it's like he's throwing slower.
Yeah.
That's actually like really worrisome. Yeah. You can't just like sweep it under the rug with your incessant positivity. Have you seen the team that you're involved with? You are the Mariners. Like, no part of this is... Every report should just be, Felix is fucked. That's what the team should say. And then if he's not, it's like, oh, well, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Just like,
we need to lower expectations. Always lower expectations. Take some hints from the political world. Only that hint, though. The rest of them are terrible hints. Although, I guess the fundraising one's good. Have we asked for money yet? Send me money.
I wonder if that PayPal donation link actually still works. It's been a long time.
You really should check.
All of that.
I already tried to send you. No, I mean, there's not.
There's just like one millionaire. Well, not millionaire, billionaire. I thought it was just like, I really like these podcasts. I'm going to throw them enough to live on and only podcast. Well, too bad you sent that to my old email address. And now that money is just gone. The ether of the internet.
Oh.
Speaking of ether, Mike Karp. So if he's...
Had a joke there and did not come out. Unlike Ichiro. Nothing. Never mind.
Subtle. All right.
That's the other surprising news that nobody else has reported on. Breaking news.
Actually, that's another thing that the team could do. Like, oh, I mean, we could talk about Felix's velocity, but did you know that Ichiro's gay? Like, whoa, that was a What a deflection.
Woo! Smoke bomb! Look over here.
Oh, God. I hope this isn't slander or libel. I don't actually know the difference.
I think we're okay.
Man, it's not like it's an insult either.
No.
You know what, Ichiro? If you were gay, then that would be actually probably the best Mariners news that's ever been Mariners news.
That would be cool news.
That'd be fantastic. And what better city? But you know what? You know what? Last day of 2012, he doesn't have a very good season. He goes back to Japan. Last line of his press conference. Oh, by the way. Gay.
I'd feel a little cheated by that. I'm like, no, you need to actually make a positive influence. You can't do that while in Japan. Nobody can while in Japan. Have you seen Japan? They're weird. No offense, Japanese. We're probably weird to you, but I mean, it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, we were obsessed with our vending machines for the 4 days.
I know, like, we're terrible, too. This is not a superiority thing. It's just like, wow, you are... I mean, you're also really cool about some things, but some things are just, what the hell? But that's culture for you.
Oh, you sell ties in your 7-Elevens? That's weird. You might think it's weird that we think it's weird that you sell ties in your 7-Eleven. So, look.
Sell
look
ties in their 7-Eleven?
Yeah, they sell ties in, like, colored business shirts in their 7-Elevens.
Oh. Well, you know what that's more useful than? That shit-eating hot dog thing. Actually, that would be really useful if they had a shit-eating hot dog thing.
This hot dog consumes itself.
Can I use the restroom? No need. I've got a shit-eating hot dog machine.
It's like a Roomba, except it's a hot dog. And instead of dust, it picks up shit.
Yeah.
That people shit in the 7-Eleven.
I hope that image now is in everybody's head who listens to this the next time they go to a 7-Eleven. Good luck paying 99 cents for that beefarito now.
Hey, excuse me. Before I do anything, clerk, do you have one of them shit-eating Roomba hot dogs? God, I can't believe this is a baseball podcast. Like, this is going to be uploaded under the sports category, right? Is there a sports category? I've never actually looked.
Not on iTunes. This actually goes under blues. Which is both a comment on the Mariners and the default option.
Oh, God. I think I actually knew that before. That's fantastic. Man, I'm really in the mood for some blues. Here's another Look Atlantic podcast. Oh, that's perfect. That really hits my emotional spot.
Yeah. It is the X. It's a Sullivan my way into that one.
Just our next podcast, I'll just have a harmonica.
Can you play a harmonica?
Can I? My understanding is that like anybody can play a harmonica.
Well, have you ever? Well. So you've never tried?
Not for a long time.
Yeah, I think I tried once with like one of those toy harmonicas. You win at like Fantasia with 12 tokens because you can't afford anything that's actually cool. Mm-hmm. And I recall it being much more difficult than it seems every media portrayal of a harmonica is. Which, when you think about it, seems like it's kind of a difficult instrument to play.
Right. I don't actually know how a harmonica works. I haven't held it in my hands for a long time, but we can't all be Les Stroud. Survivor Man.
Yes, we can't all be him. Because then who would have a television show?
Well, not him anymore, because I guess Survivor Man's done. He probably wants to be with his family instead of risking his life all the time.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you see that Bear Grylls got basically fired or not rehired?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they had.
Is it because of the whole not really doing things thing, or was it because he's in, or for some other reason?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just saw the headline. Baseball. Bear Grylls has never played baseball, but other people have played baseball, including the Seattle Mariners. And so, let's see, what were we talking about? So
we were talking about Carp and how it's like bad news and the positivity. But so yeah, it's. I think we were all kind of expecting. I think everybody was kind of just the way that it was written about and talked about was that Carp was going to be at the minimum, which is like great news now that for that Japanese trip because that gives us like 8 days. Of more than 8 days. No. I don't know, a certain amount of days that eats into his 15-day DL, so he was going to be back and having missed only like six, maybe seven games. And now they haven't actually said that like they're pushing it back. I haven't seen one. Like, I haven't heard like an updated timeline on Mike Karp. All we've heard about is Gutierrez is ahead of him. But yeah, Gutierrez wasn't supposed to be back till May. So even if he's like a week ahead of schedule, that's bad news. And they're not saying like Goody will be back tomorrow. Like, he could be back taking swings soon. I don't know.
Well, so he's free, I think, to do all baseball activities as of a few days ago.
Gutierrez?
Yeah. And so I guess maybe they've reevaluated how much of spring training they wanted to have. Maybe he's still like fresh and I don't know. But I thought like Mike Karp tweeted yesterday that he's making fine progress and he's going to be back soon or something. So it's really just hard to tell, except, hey, you're fucked, Michael Saunders. Like, I hope you enjoy this week of opportunity, because after that, you're going right back to Tacoma to be buried.
Well, no, yeah, that's right. Cause we'd have to take two outfielders. Cause so related to that is, it seems like, so right now for the time being, our outfielders are Ichiro, Michael Saunders, Casper Wells, and Sean Figgins. Right? I mean, there's no other outfielder
right.
Nope. On the roster. Not even like anybody who's capable of playing the outfield.
Nope.
Not even like the old Chris Jimenez thing, like in a pinch can play right field thing. Like, no. That's Sean Figgins. Who, by the way, is like your starting left fielder. And while it was like, okay, that's fine for six games, it now could be more than six games. And that's it's just, yeah. So what's going to happen, I guess, when Karp and Gutierrez come back? Obviously, I think Alex Liddy goes down.
Right.
But then, yeah, I guess it has to be Michael Saunders.
It pretty much does, unless somebody's hurt.
Unless they want to do, unless they're at that point comfortable in going to an 11-man pitching staff.
Or you could also, just because it seems like they haven't been thrilled with him, I think that they could still demote Casper Wells and, if they want to have Saunders stick around. I don't know why they would, because then you'd have three lefties.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense from a platoon standpoint, certainly. I guess they could also demote Trousseau. Like, is he going to play? I don't know.
I don't think they would do that.
I don't think so either, but I guess it would kind of depend on – we still don't really have a good read, I think, on how comfortable they are with Montero catching.
Right. But I think just the whole thing about Montero DHing all the time, it's going to be tricky for them to not have a third catcher. I know that they like Saunders' defense a lot. I know that the team's like bought into his little, or is willing to give him a chance with his like new swing, etc. And I know that they have not been impressed with Casper Wells. So I think that maybe just, I don't think they want to platoon Mike Karp or Goody or Ichiro or anything. So I think they could just conceivably keep Saunders around as the backup outfielder, because he's clearly a better defensive center fielder than Casper Wells. A better defensive replacement in left. So we'll see. I mean, obviously that's some time off, but so, I guess Saunders could still have an opportunity then with Casper Wells. Like, well, I guess,
Tacoma,
we'll see what you do.
Whatever, yeah. You know, like, but that also kind of like, cause you're right. I don't think they want to platoon anybody, but then that also doesn't that kind of argue, depending again on how your interpretation of the better to play every day thing. If they want Michael Saunders to kind of like hammer home that swing change, maybe it's better that he's starting in Tacoma than sitting on the bench.
Yep.
Whereas with Casper Wells, you're like, whatever, he's adequate enough at defense and we think he's bad as shit. So no harm being the fourth outfielder.
As for Liddy, I guess, so in Tacoma, Francisco Martinez went out of AA, at least to begin, and Tacoma is going to have Vinny Catchacola playing third. So I think if Liddy goes down, then they'll have room, I think. He can get, like, they can put Catchacola in the outfield sometimes, and Liddy can play first base.
Liddy will probably go to first base most of the time. Right.
So that shouldn't be an issue until or unless Martinez forces his way up. But Martinez, of course, I don't think either of us is super high on, so less of a consideration.
Well, the team, I think, is the most highest on him, but we don't have to care what the team cares about.
Right. I mean, eventually we do have to care what the team cares about, because that means we have to write about Carlos Figuera more often. But with
We don't.
He is interesting. He is interesting to write about.
Yeah.
It seems like he'd be
boycott him like I boycotted Silva for like 2 months.
Or like I think I boycotted, what was it, Aaron Laffey? I just didn't write about Aaron Laffey.
Well, was that a boycott, or was just there's nothing interesting to say about Aaron?
Well,
Lappe?
There's also that, but hey, you know who's actually had like a really
since he was a
spring.
Relief pitcher, and we used like three relief pitchers for 3 months.
God, Sean Gray had the best job.
You mean Jeff Gray?
Jeff Gray. Sure, whatever. Who even gives a fuck? I got his name half right, and that makes him happy.
If you can't remember a guy's first name on the Mariners, and he's, you know, Sean's a good enough guess.
And also, it's my name.
That's true.
Gray, you know. I remember the generic part. God, he's probably fucking listening to this right now. He's just sitting at home like, well, I have time to listen to these podcasts because I don't know what he's, I think he's with the Twins, whatever. Aaron Laffey, I think, is going to be the Blue Jays' fifth starter, by the way, out of the chute because he's had like a really good spring.
Really? Yeah. That doesn't seem good.
Also,
I mean, good fact, for Aaron Laffey, but.
Fun fact that has nothing at all to do with the Mariners, like literally at all. So John Lana got demoted by the Nationals to AAA.
Yes.
Because whatever. Yeah, in spring, he had a higher strikeout rate than Steven Strasburg did.
That is a fun fact. Why did they demote him?
Because they like Ross Detweiler more. When Chan Ming Wong is back from a hamstring injury, he was going to be the fifth starter anyway, so we're only talking about a few starts. And I guess they just made a baseball decision that Detweiler is better than Lannan. Whether or not you believe that, I don't know. But they clearly, Lannan.
Well, wait, so like, who's the rest? So is Strasburg?
Strasburg, Jordan Zimmerman, Gio Gonzalez.
Oh, Zimmerman. I'm missing one.
Yeah, they have no room for another starter. Lannan was on the way out anyway. They're going to try to trade him. He actually requested a trade.
Through the media.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Although, like, really? Chin Ming Wong?
But, I mean, at the same time, really? John Lannan? Like, whatever.
Well, you just said he had a higher strikeout rate in spring training,
right,
which totally doesn't matter.
Spring training. We know what John Lannan is, and he's just John Lannan. He's a sinker baller, just like Chin Ming Wong is, and Detweiler was like he was a high draft pick, I think.
He was. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it makes sense, but.
It's just interesting because Lannan's making $5 million and now he's going to AAA and he's not pleased. But, I mean, who would be pleased to go to Syracuse?
Nobody.
Lacrosse players? Not anymore. Wait.
Is that a topical joke?
I don't actually remember.
I don't keep up with the lacrosse news.
Was it them or, I mean, Virginia's fucked up with lacrosse, but Syracuse, well, whatever, there's scandals. There's scandals everywhere.
Oh, you were talking about Duke from, like, way back?
I have no idea what I was
talking about. Or was there another one?
Maybe I was just making an objective statement, but lacrosse players like going to Syracuse.
Anyways, so with Liddy still on the team, so it sounds like Kyle Seager's going to be starting at third with Figgins in left. Alex Liddy's kind of being the backup third baseman and first baseman. This is kind of, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen or whatever, but out of the blue, I mean, like, do you think Alex Liddy puts any kind of pressure on Justin Smoke?
They've been batting Smoke cleanup, so I think that the team actually has a lot of confidence in him. Whether or not that's merited, I don't know. But, I mean, they could have put Mike Karp cleanup if they wanted because they were impressed enough by him last year, yeah. I guess. So the fact that they put Smoke cleanup implies to me that they have a lot of confidence in him, I think, because he's a switch hitter. It's not like he leads to an easy platoon. So I think I don't entirely know why Liddy is around. I'm kind of surprised they demoted Peguero instead of him. It is just a short-term thing. But the fact that they really like Carlos Peguero tells you that it makes sense that they also really like Alex Liddy because, you know,
he's similar skill set,
not the power, etc.
Yeah,
and, made some defensive improvements. Maybe they just want to acknowledge that he made progress or something. Basically, I don't think it puts much or a significant amount of extra pressure on Smoke. I suspect that when Karp or Gutierrez is back, then Liddy goes down, and that whole thing is resolved. I think Smoke is going to run with first base, and Karp will kind of be the formal backup, or Jusso will be the formal backup. He got some reps at first base.
Yeah.
I suspect that Smoke's just fine. And then we'll reevaluate in a month and a half if he's not hitting.
Right. It's more like, I don't think, I'm not saying like out of the chute, Alex Liddy's presence on the team is a threat to Justin Smoke. But if it's like 3 weeks in before Gutierrez and Karp come back, I'm assuming now that Karp doesn't come back until 3 weeks from now. And Smoke is hitting like 220 with like two home runs, and he looks just as bad as he was when he was injured. I wonder at what point do the Mariners kind of lose some patience with him?
Well, at that point, I think it would probably, maybe not after 3 weeks, but if Smoke continues to struggle, then at that point, I think it is justified to lose some patience with him because we're all kind of expecting him to
bounce back kind of, because he's healthy, right?
Right.
So it's like
a guy who's supposed to be a prospect, and if he struggles, well, then we think, well, maybe he's just not actually that good, and then we're
just like, oh, great, last April was a total mirage, and everybody hates us in Mariners.
Yeah. Well, then I guess that does free up the team to try to maybe just try Mike Karp at first base and then have an actual outfielder, but then we're getting ahead of ourselves because I don't think Mike Karp is even that good. So,
yeah. I don't know. It'll be an interesting shakeout of the roster for the next, I guess, April, May, and see where things go. Because yeah, there's a lot of people hovering on that kind of like quad A level, mm-hmm. and seeing where, I mean, do you think Figgins lasts the year?
I don't. I am anticipating that he will be bad, and then I am anticipating that Kyle Seager will be good enough, and then there will just be no job.
Yeah. I think you don't think they'd keep him around as like a utility guy?
I don't. And obviously, if he's good enough, then they'll keep him just out of inertia, I guess. I think that's the word. But I anticipate that is a word. It's not like I said, Inikaza, which is wingdings. But I think that the leadoff thing isn't going to last very long because he'll be bad. He'll work the count, but he'll be bad. Then I think they'll, at that point, what do you do? It's like, I think leadoff is his last opportunity. It's his last excuse, right? That you're playing all the time and you're leading off. Well, now what's your problem?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's like, I could see, I think there's three main probabilities. One's that he lasts the year. One that he's starting the year. We know that. So he starts the year and is bad, is demoted out of the starting role, and then they just cut him. Possibly because they don't want him like festering around the clubhouse or whatever. And the other one is like he starts the year, he's mediocre or bad enough, or Kyle Seager's good enough and Mike Karp's good enough when he comes back, et cetera, that he gets pushed into a backup utility role and they just kind of keep him there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I
guess that-
I don't know which of those three I think is more likely though. Like it's like I guess objectively when I'm not watching him play, I'm always like, I could see him like coming back to like 270, 330, 330.
Mm-hmm.
And while that sounds terrible in today's run environment, that's not bad. And as a utility player, that's perfectly acceptable, especially, I mean, he can't steal base. He'd basically be Willie Bloomquist, but, and we rag on Willie Bloomquist, and we deservedly did for two reasons. One, for his way too overbearing fan support, which I don't think will ever be a problem with Sean Figgins. And two, because Bloomquist was putting up those lines in an offensive era where those lines were terrible.
And everybody, and including himself, wanted to play all the time.
He kept carping about playing more. Now,
carping, nice. Rousing.
You see, yeah. I already used that word before, yeah, and now I'm just like noticing that I'm using
it. It's a lame word.
It's not a lame word.
Well, I mean, it's a lame word for a word of the day. I'm such a lame word that I forgot it for Jeff Gray.
I think people don't, it's too often, it's kind of glossed over like how much baseball has changed from like 2006 to 2012
mm-hmm.
in just terms of the run environment. Like things are way less. So I don't know. It's just like, I see comparisons like, oh, it was just Willie Bloomquist. Like, well, but Willie Bloomquist now would not be unuseful.
Right. I mean, the Diamondbacks did just sign him for a two-year contract.
I mean, Willie Bloomquist even then was not unuseful, and it's just like, well, now he wouldn't even be terrible. Because, yeah, Figgins could bring, he can play third, second, left, I guess center, I guess pinch in a need at shortstop.
This is just a fun fact. I just looked it up while you were talking. Just so everybody knows, you said 2006 and basically 2011. So in 2011, the league average OPS was 720. All right, sounds about right. Well, in 2006, it was 768. That's like a 50-point drop in OPS over a 5 or 6 year span, which is really substantial.
50 like points is huge.
if a player loses 50 points of OPS, you think, wow, that is quite the drop, unless it's all ball in play luck related, but that's a big difference.
Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, but you kind of, I lost my train of thought. Oh, so I could see, you know, I'm staring at my wall or the clouds, which are somewhat receding now, that, and I picture it like, oh, Sean Figgins, yeah, you could see like a 650 OPS with like decent speed and okay defense and whatever. That's fine enough as a bench role. It sucks that we're paying him $9 million, but well, we're not paying him $9 million, but whatever, like you should divorce yourself from his contract when you're talking about it. And then I watch him play, and it's just like, anytime you make contact with the ball, how does it get out of the infield? Like, there's just, he looks so weak.
Yeah.
How did he hit two triples yesterday?
My senior year of high school, there was a junior on, it was the JV team. His name is Matt LaPointe. Matt LaPointe, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus. You were bad. Matt LaPointe wanted to play baseball. I went to a small high school where they couldn't cut players. It was just this small private high school. And if you wanted to play, then you would at least make the JV team. So Matt LaPointe was nominally an infielder, whatever about his defense. I remember watching him hit. He was like, he looked like a normal dude. He was small, and he was like a junior in high school, so it wasn't like a man.
But yeah.
When he would swing, he was just like, I could like count the frames of vision, like his bat speed is just so slow. And then when he would hit the ball, like max, the farthest I saw I hit the ball was like beyond second base in the air. And then it would just like land like a dying quail. And I was thinking, there's no, why would you even play baseball? Like you should probably just like write poems or something. But you're here. You have a hockey name, but you clearly aren't strong enough to play any sport.
Yeah.
And so you should, but I was just remember seeing that and thinking why you will never play. Like you'll be on the team, but you'll just never play. And I now am thinking of Matt LaPointe because 10, 11 years later, Sean Figgins looked like that. Like, I don't know how Sean Figgins hit two triples yesterday. I don't know how he hit the ball, the gap to the wall. I don't know how he hit an opening day home run last season. We know there's clearly some strength in there, but you watch him and it's completely uninspiring.
And, yeah. And it's not like Dustin Ackley where it doesn't look like he should hit for power, but he hits everything hard. It's Sean Figgins doesn't look like he hits for power, and 9 times out of 10 hits exactly like he looks. And so it's just, there's no way to have any confidence in him unless he. No, I think at this point it's lost cause as far as confidence.
Even his like line drive singles to the outfield, do you think? Well, I mean, maybe they'll be caught. No, because they hang up in the air for just a little amount of time, then they die in front of left fielder. But
yeah,
I guess
they don't look like line drives. They look like flatter pop ups.
What Figgins' future leans on is with the state of the roster when he demonstrates that he's not good anymore. Like you'll probably give him. Well, how much patience does the team have? Do they give him 1 month? Do they give him 2 months? Well, when they reach the decision point, what's the situation with the roster flexibility? What's the bench? Do they still need somebody who can play pretty much every position? And then I think that'll determine where Figgins goes from there, but I suspect he will not be a very good player, and I suspect that the team will finally be willing to drop him if he demonstrates that he's not good again.
Yeah. Although, probably at least not until Gutierrez and Carper back and healthy.
Right. Right.
Which leads me to this. Who ends up with the most plate appearances for the 2012 Mariners? Sean Figgins, Carlos Baguero.
Figgins. I have to go with Figgins because he gets the automatic head start because he's leading off and playing all the time.
Right.
And Baguero just got demoted so they could keep Alex Liddy, which is weird because I thought they really liked Carlos Baguero, but I guess they didn't want to. Oh, you know what? They want Baguero playing every day is what they want because he wasn't going to do that in Seattle now.
Yeah.
Because they like Seager.
It also makes a lot of sense because they wanted a backup third baseman, first baseman, and via Figgins nominally starting in the outfield. I guess that's a tacit acknowledgement that Carlos Baguero is not good at starting in the outfield. So, but I don't know, but they do seem to really like him. But then they also, I mean, everybody loves keeps talking about how they're totally in love with him, but then you actually read like Zarensic's comments, and I don't know where they got that impression, because reading his comments is like, the subtext of Jack Zarensic's comments are, he's really powerful, but he's bad at everything else. He's like flat out admitting it. I was like, yeah, well, he'd be the best player on the team if he hits his absolute ceiling. Well, no shit, because he's got the most power. So yeah, if he maxed out his ceiling and everything else, he's got the best tool.
My impression of the things is that this is kind of what I've been told. I don't know how true it is, but it makes sense. I think Carlos Piguero is an Eric Wedge guy. Like, people thought that Chris Gimmon is an Eric Wedge guy, but he wasn't. That was actually Jack Zarensic, but I think Eric Wedge really likes Carlos Piguero, and the front office is smart, and they don't, because yeah. Carlos Piguero. So you have this kind of power struggle where you think, how much say do I give to the manager, and how much say do we take on our own? So I don't think that Jack Zarensic's quotes on Carlos Piguero will be as glowing as Eric Wedge's, because, again, it was Eric Wedge who said, we love him, look at his batting practice, like, he has a lot of potential. Okay, yeah, that whatever. Sean Figgins probably hits 1,000 in batting practice.
Right. And that also goes back to a post I wrote about, like, why I don't listen to managerial quotes. It's like, well, what do you expect him to say?
Yeah. Well,
how do you feel about Carlos Piguero? That guy's a bum. Fuck that guy. Like, he can't do that. The GM maybe could do that, because he doesn't have to look at the players in the face. Like, although, I mean, he still kind of does, but not nearly to the extent that the manager does. So it's just
apparently
like
Jack Zarensic has a problem with eye contact, and no reason that he and Eric Wedge got along. Like, I'm all about the eyes. I can't look at them. The weird dynamic we have.
Coming this fall to CBS.
Autistic front office. Oh, man. Oh, man. Autistic baseball GM. There's something here. Hey, I just want to make a trade. That's really insensitive. Fortunately, there's no one.
Yeah, because we're not offensive enough as a blog already.
But, I mean, you can also think about it, like, well, why did Eric Wedge say that Carlos Piguero looks really good in batting practice? Because he doesn't look really good any other time.
Because
he's
got to say something positive. And maybe that's saying, I mean, that's probably reading too much into the subtext or wanting to read too much into it, but it's just like, oh, people don't freak out over what a manager says.
Carlos Piguero puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. Well, what does that have to do with anything? But okay.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
I mean, I guess you should pay attention to what managers say if they say things like, I hate black people. Like, that would be a time to be like, whoa.
Hold on.
I'm not going to then be like, well, he was just trying to give the reporter a quote. Like, okay, but no, that's not the right. What newspaper are you from?
Hey, this is Cleet from the Yakima.
Oh, you just insulted all of Yakima.
Yeah,
but they're not listening.
Hey, get computers, Yakima, then I'll worry about you. Is Yakima racist, or is it like, I guess I could have gone with Klamath Falls.
Yeah, I actually have no idea. I've driven through Yakima, and it seemed okay.
All right. I just assume if you're a town in the eastern portion of a state, you're probably racist.
You know, if you're a town anywhere, you're probably racist. Everybody's racist.
We're all genetically racist.
I mean, I just made fun of Japanese people earlier.
Well, they are weird.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of racist. Although, Japanese isn't a race.
No. See, now you're being racist. God, it's so easy to be racist because it's what we're programmed to do.
Yep, tribalism.
I'm not denying this anymore. You know what? I'm not going to get into that now. So where are we going beyond this? So, Spaghetti, blah, blah, blah.
Opening day roster. Opening day again. Sort of? I don't know.
Sort of.
I don't know how I'm milking this joke is the way you're trying to milk the talking stick jokes. You can't make that joke anymore? Well, you could. I hope you bring it back in like May, randomly.
Talking stick jokes?
Yes.
I'm not done with them. I'm done with them for now because it's over. But the neat thing is they're only relevant for a month of the year. And then you just kind of forget about it. And then it gets to be next March. It's like, holy shit, talking stick?
It's probably really offensive to Native Americans. That's probably like one of their... No, see, that's being racist again. Damn it. Okay, baseball. So, The Mariners actually had opening day morning while in Japan. And then last night was the Marlins and the Cardinals doing opening night slash day for them and the stadium and kind of for American baseball. And then tonight and today, I actually don't know when the first game is. Is
now, actually, like 10 what? In the morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think the Red Sox for the Tigers.
There's a baseball? What the hell? Really?
There's like 3 baseball games at 10 in the morning.
Oh, my God. Okay, so they're spread out all. So they're actually, it's actually like an opening day.
Yeah.
All day of baseball. That counts. Do you have any opinion on that? The way it's all spread out?
So, myself, as somebody who writes about baseball for a living, I actually like the way it's been spread out, because the fact that the Mariners aren't starting on the same day as everybody else makes my job easier. Granted, I wasn't thrilled to wake up at 3 in the morning to watch the Mariners start, and then 2 in the morning, but it's kind of nice to have them already opened and then not have to worry about that stress on top of all the other stress today or tomorrow. But as somebody who knows, like, we just went through March Madness, everybody's favorite part of March Madness is the first 2 days when there's just games all the time. And I think everybody likes the idea of just having baseball around the clock, like 15 games on opening day, just starting at 10, going until 10, basically, for those on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then just having the whole day of action to completely re-immerse yourself. So as a baseball fan, that is, I think, the more desirable option as opposed to this, like, basically 4 opening days situation that we have now. But I, like with everything else in baseball, I just can't get too worked up over it, because it's at the end of the day, okay, well, baseball's still back and I can enjoy it. And I don't, it's only one day anyway. I don't think,
yeah, it's, well, it's obviously not, but it was just like more in comparison, like, yeah, not in comparison to world events. How does, what is your opinion on baseball opening day? But in comparison to, I guess, other sports. So football opens now on a Thursday with a NFL Network game that kind of forces you to not watch it or go to a bar or own the NFL Network, well, own a cable package that owns the NFL Network, in order to watch your first football game of the season. Basketball, I have no idea what they do because I don't care. Hockey kind of all starts on one day, and soccer is also kind of starts on one day but isn't on TV anyways. So I guess baseball kind of is a middle ground of our domestic sport leagues, but I don't know. I don't really remember how hockey starts.
I don't think hockey all starts with everybody on the same day. I think it starts with a few games like usual, and they're probably like big games.
Well, that's because, like, I mean, nobody really, well, I guess on Saturdays, pretty much everybody plays. Do they start it off on a Saturday? They should start off on like a Saturday.
No, I don't hockey recall there game. Being any special occasion, but I mean, yeah.
They really don't have like opening day for hockey.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. I guess, yeah, because really, in Canada, every day is hockey day.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's nothing special about this.
Yeah, it's weird that they designate particular hockey days in Canada. Like, who are you kidding?
Yeah. They should just rename Saturday hockey day. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Because then it would be all like, what day is it? Well, I'm up in Canada and somebody tells me it's Saturday. I'm like, no, it's not. It's hockey day. And then we would laugh.
Like once.
Yeah. I just want things to be different and weird.
Basically, you want things to be Japanese.
Yes, but ever changing, like constantly changing, because I don't know, just things are boring. Things move way too slowly. It would be cool if there was a way to live where every one of your days was like a month. You know, like you go to sleep and you wake up and it's a month from now.
Oh,
so,
man,
like, everything passes, like, so fast. That'd be cool.
So, basically, live in fast forward, sort of,
yeah.
Except each day is a regular day.
But yeah, except that, yeah, when you're actually awake, everything is, like, normal speed. But then when you sleep, everything goes to 10 times speed.
So, basically, instead of living for, say, 80 years, you'd be living for 960 years.
Yeah, something like that. Think of all the cool, like, just the amount of, like, the breadth of history that you would get to experience.
Also, that was the wrong math, because you don't live 12 times faster. You live much, much faster.
Whatever. It's a certain... This is not...
Now, hold on. I'm doing this. 2,400 years.
Because I also said 10 times faster while you're sleeping. So, you know, I've already... Whatever.
You know,
damn it, I want to go to space. It's really the crux of this.
Oh, I just paid rent. What do you mean I have to pay rent again every day? Oh, I don't make that much. I don't have a job because my time passes fast.
I would get fired from every job for not showing up the other 29 days. Oh, way to see the drawback.
Man, that would be really hard to be a baseball blogger.
Although I guess if you started with a decent like nest egg, the compounding interest might keep up with your expenses. Yeah?
This sounds like a movie that would be interesting and then scientific people would just tear it to shreds. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it sounds like a movie that would be interesting, but then Hollywood execs would shoehorn a romance into it somehow, and it would just totally not make any sense, and it would ruin it.
Picked up?
Yeah.
I was passing through time at this rate that you can't understand because I can't convey to you that I don't want your life. Why did you type the Varsity Blues? It's not even have anything to do with... I can't believe it. James Vanderbeek for the lead in anything. And why
also,
is Fez
it'd be weird if you
interest?
Were born that way too, because then you wouldn't know, you know, like you wouldn't know that you were different. Well, you eventually would grasp it, but you wouldn't have like a compare contrast. I don't know. I'm fascinated by those things, like the way like when you have those kind of changes, but you aren't born like if you're born colorblind, like wow, that's weird.
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day, and I couldn't wrap my head around it. Even though it's a very simple concept on the surface, red is blue, blue is red, whatever, and you just kind of
blue and green. But yeah, but it's just like it's like I can't relate to you at all, and you can't really relate to me. I mean, not like at all, but in terms of that narrow band.
Yeah, well, I like
color.
It's weird to think that we could all see every color just a little bit differently.
Yeah, my red is not your red, etc. It's an interesting, I don't know, thoughts.
What I found out yesterday, I think, from Twitter is that Buster only is severely colorblind, so they sent him to Marlins ballpark for the opener. It's like, well, that's probably appropriate.
Everything is neon green. We should send a dog there. Dogs can't see in color, by the way. They just can only see in two. Which is also interesting. So, because they have whichever one. So, there's rods and cones, and one of them is light and one of them is color, and I can't remember which is which. Cones, I think, is... I'm not going to look it up. Anyways, so we have three of whichever one is color-based, so that we see our three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. Dogs only have, I think, blue and yellow. So they see in color, but it's like it's weird. It's not like the grayscale that everybody kind of used to assume. It's like they can see, but like green and red look exactly the same to them, which is like awesome.
Man, dogs do not enjoy Christmas to the same extent.
Yeah, well, it was just like the example that they brought was like, so when you buy like a red tennis, like not a tennis ball, but like a red ball, and you throw it into the grass and tell the dog to go fetch it, you're an asshole. And that's why the dog just looks confused.
Go get it, you stupid dog. What the fuck is wrong with you, dog?
Like, it can't tell the difference. It can only like chase after the thing that's moving, which, you know, everything is moving.
Oh, you want the ball? You want the ball? You want the ball? Go get the ball. It's disappeared. Fuck you. Stupid dog, we're better than you.
Yeah.
You still love me at home.
50% better.
33. Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Better than your shit 840-year math. God.
I resolved it. 840. That's not even the number I said. Nice memory.
It
piece
was.
Of shit. You are a piece of shit.
What did you say?
I said 960. Which was wrong. And then I said 2,400, which might have been right.
I'm going to edit this to make you look like an even more of an idiot.
I did not say, pause, 840 years. pause. Now I have made it easy for you to edit this to make me look like an idiot. But at least I don't look as stupid as a fucking dog with a red ball and a green lawn.
Yeah, wagging its tail.
Yeah, you're wagging its tail because it's too fucking stupid. God, what else is there to talk about in the baseball podcast? So, Felix, let's end on a somber note, right? We can end like this. So,
yeah,
Felix is throwing slower than he should. And I know everybody understands, or people should understand, yes, pitchers lose velocity as they arrive in the major league.
Yes.
They gradually get slower unless they're Roy Halladay, because I checked and he hasn't. But what they don't do is just lose it all at once. They don't just go from like 94 to 90 or 91. That doesn't happen often for benign reasons. So here's what is meaningful. Felix has lost or is not throwing at his normal velocity yet. That is what's meaningful. That Felix says he feels fine or that the coaching staff is like he feels fine, that is not meaningful. I mean, it's not meaningful, but it just doesn't say much. Remember, Michael Pineda said he was fine until he said, oh, by the way, my shoulder's been hurting like this whole time. Like, okay, players deny the shit all the time. Justin Smoke, we just went through this last year. Do you think Felix is the type to be open and honest if he, like,
no,
isn't 100%? No, and I'm not trying to, like, get everybody worried, but you should be a little worried because Felix isn't going to be honest, and the team's going to, like, give him the benefit of the doubt because he's still throwing well, but something is up. This is not just a normal thing that happens.
I guess the other thing is people are like, oh, who cares, because he's still really good. And I'm like, yeah, but we're not, that's not the problem. if the problem was that he wasn't, you know, that he was getting hit around a lot, then we would be talking about that as the problem. It's just that, like, yeah, what you said, like, pitchers don't tend to lose, it's, yeah, they lose pitch speed. Really try to shy away from velocity because it's incorrect. Or at least not totally correct. They lose pitch speed generally gradually over time unless they're Doug Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't – this currently is not gradual. This is, you know, 95 to 94 to 93 to 92 and a half to 90. Now part of that is pitch selection too. So let's not – totally freak out, and that's why it's also not like it's not a 5-mile-an-hour drop. I don't know why I keep seeing that number.
Yeah.
Felix's average fastball speed did drop quite a bit from when he first came up, because also he only threw 4-seamers when he first came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he pretty much only throws 2-seamers, so there's a difference there that's not related to fatigue or injury or anything like that, but it's just it's worrisome because there's no explanation for it, and generally, yeah, when it comes right down to it, those are – we have a large experience with pitchers and unexplained pitch speed drops, and they're not good.
Right.
And, almost universally not good, even if the results are fine for a while or forever. I don't know. If Felix could pitch the entire year not topping more than, you know, 91, 92, and he could win the Cy Young, and I'm still going to be worried.
Here, so with – a velocity drop like this, it isn't gradual. That's like 2-3 miles per hour. That means something is different with the way Felix is throwing now relative to how he was throwing last September. And if his mechanics are fine, then something, there's a small, lesser amount of force being put into the ball than there was. So however many months ago, 6-7 months ago. So when you break this down, either there's like a mechanical inefficiency or something is physically changed. And if something is physically changed, I don't know if I buy that. Like, somebody volunteered the idea that maybe a lighter Felix is throwing slower. And I don't know, maybe there's something there. Maybe you really can throw a little harder with more weight.
It is something we could point to that demonstrably changed.
Mm-hmm.
He is thinner now.
Right.
I don't think, yeah, I agree. I is equally skeptical with you that that is the cause. Or even partially a cause, because you'd think he's thinner because he worked out, makes him stronger.
Especially because we just saw a fatter Michael Pineda throwing slower. So it's like, yeah. Well, all right. But I mean,
there's certainly no one-to-one there, but it's, yeah, I can see why. I mean, it's worth bringing up as like, maybe, because there's no way for us to know unless he comes out and literally says like, I'm throwing slower because of this. And even then, we probably wouldn't believe him. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's worth paying attention to. It's, I understand usually the impulse, and I usually agree with it, with dismissing people freaking out. And people shouldn't freak out over it, because if it was a Michael Pineda situation, he was getting shelled, then I would probably freak out. But he's fine. He's missing bats. He looks like Felix, except 2 miles per hour slower. And he also, I mean, we don't have a huge sample of games.
Right.
Even, I mean, beyond the whole spring training and stuff, and like how that doesn't matter, and maybe he was just taking it easy. We also just didn't even have that many games during spring training with pitch FX that we got pitch speeds off of him for. We basically have a sample of like 4 games.
And in spring training, of course, you expect people to be a little, they're not 100% yet. They're not where they will be in July.
Yeah.
So that is a factor. We'll see if Felix builds up. I mean, he'll probably gain weight during the season. So if that's a thing, then we could see him throwing a little harder. And of course, if the results are there consistently, and if he looks statistically looks like Felix, then maybe we just, I mean, Tim Lincecum doesn't throw as hard as he used to. He's been okay. Of course, there's the famous example of Madison Bumgarner being like, I throw pretty hard. Now I don't. Oh, now I do. And I'm fine again. No explanation for that whole thing, but it's okay for now. So there's always the potential that Felix bounces back and is fine, or that he doesn't get his velocity back and is still fine because he has all of those pitches.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine regardless. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Felix throwing 89 to 91 on his fastball would still be an amazingly effective pitcher. I'm only concerned because of sudden drops usually portend an injury. Mm-hmm. That's my only concern. So it would be nice to see him throwing 93 or 94, just even for a couple pitches. Just be like, yeah, I still got it. Then I would be not concerned anymore.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Then I'd be concerned.
How awesome is the Marlins Stadium?
I think like a lot of people, it's like, whoa, that's weird. Oh, now I'm used to it. So like yesterday, I've been looking at that home run sculpture for so long that yesterday I saw on the broadcast and it didn't even, like, I didn't bat an eye. It's just like, that's just a weird thing that exists. Just like,
I still batted an eye because seeing it on a television broadcast for the first time was like, oh God, yes. Well, it's clearly, so huge.
It clearly draws your attention because it's like the size of a skyscraper and it's just dwarfing the entire outfield. And it's right there behind the pitcher.
It was my second. I don't know what was more, what I enjoyed more about it. When I first saw it, and it was all like, you know, we flipped out. Like, this is ludicrous or whatever. But the whole time I was like, oh, this is just going to be like a small thing in the outfield or whatever. But I still loved it to death, even as how horribly tacky it is. But was my joy over that overshadowed by when I found out how big it is? I don't know. I don't know which of the two I loved more. Because it seriously is huge.
Yeah, it is just enormous. And you can look at the sense of scale, but like it dwarfs people just standing near it. And that's when people are in front of it, so they'll even look bigger based on perspective. It is, I don't know the dimensions, but I can't believe it. Like, it doesn't collide with a retractable roof when it's closing. And I mean, it has fireworks and it's just so much comes out of it and goes into it. And it's, I think, a remarkable statement about the ability of the human brain to adapt, that in time we will all just be used to it. We'll all just be like, well, there's that thing.
Yeah.
That's what's there.
Yeah.
It's just like I was reading an article.
Nobody cares about how the brewer slides down a complex slide into a fake vat of beer every time the Brewers hit a home run. Like,
you know what doesn't make people trip out anymore? Chameleons. Or like caterpillars turning into butterflies. Like, oh, no, you just learn about that when you're young. It's like, oh, well, this is a thing, and then it goes into a cocoon, and then it's a completely different thing that can fly. Oh, by the way, now you'd learn that when you're 5, so you're not going to be amazed by it when you're 20. But that's fucking incredible. Like, I can't just get in a sleeping bag and turn into a pterodactyl after like 2 weeks. Nor what I want to, because, oh, God, the food would be worse. But just like that.
Also, don't they die really quickly as butterflies?
I don't know. I mean, they're always getting caught by nets.
Yeah. I guess they don't, because otherwise they wouldn't migrate.
But like, chameleons, natural camouflage. Just like, oh, I look like what I'm around now. Cool, right? Oh, but you're used to it. You don't think that's neat. I mean, you are the most jaded. It's like a a neat thing about the human brain, and also kind of annoying at times, because like I want to be amazed more often, but I guess if I were amazed by all the amazing things, I would just constantly be like, whoa.
Yeah,
I am basically stoned all the time.
Yeah, you would never get anything. I guess no, that's a really apt description.
Look at this computer. I press a key and there's a letter on the key and the screen.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you right now through nothing. We're communicating through air.
Through space.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the human brain has to adapt, but what that means is that no matter how far you push the envelope, and the Marlins push the envelope, it's just like, well...
Now somebody's going to push it further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you now our stadium literally blows up. We play a game, you hit a home run, everybody's dead. 50,000 people died. Boom! New stadium, new team. This is what's happening. Oh, okay, well, we're done. I mean, we have so many disposable people now in the year 2018 that we can just build stadiums immediately and just blow people up. Yay, home runs! Neat. Everybody hits one home run. You're tied for the franchise lead. So I'm going to be interested to see what comes next. Like, what's going to be the next bizarre... I mean, the Mets have, like, an apple. I mean, that's weird, right? I know it's like the big apple thing, but they have an apple that shows up, or did. So that must have been weird at first. And like the Giants have the big old Coke bottle, and the Brewers have the guy on the slide, and what other home run things are there?
I don't know.
You have the Venga boys. I mean, that's pretty terrible.
There's also still like the giant wall at Fenway that everybody's just cool with.
Yep. No, and now it's just like this thing. Like, oh, yeah, well, don't forget about the Green Monster, which is dull but is a factor. Like, no, it's like 400 feet tall and it's 8 feet away. Like, Dustin Pedroia that's his career. Like, that's why Dustin Pedroia is an all-star and an MVP candidate, because he has that wall that he can touch with his fingers when he's batting. Like, oh. Of course Manny Ramirez could play left field in Boston. There wasn't left field. There just doesn't exist. It's just a giant wall that you either hit over or hit. And that's it. And that's what people are used to. And also the angles are fucking weird in Fenway. Like, oh, we just have this like Art Deco geometric pattern in the outfield. Oh, of course there's a lot of triples. And Houston has a fucking hill. It has a hill in center field. And there are stadiums with flagpoles in center field. In the field.
Yeah. Like, oh, didn't Houston have that when they first opened?
Houston did, I think, in the field of play. And so did Detroit.
Yeah. But to be fair, Detroit's was like 800,000 feet away.
Right. So, I mean, nobody's going to hit it except for Carlos Pena. And I don't think anybody ever did hit it. But what was the ground rule? Was it a home run? Was it a...
I think it was just in the field of play. Whereas the thing is, like, Houston's was like reachable and it was on the hill. It's like, not only do you have to deal with like a sudden change in pitch while you're running and trying to follow the ball, you could run headlong into a flagpole. Like, how was that a good idea? Did they not think, like, oh, here's the center fielder tracking the ball. Bam, concussion. He's dead now.
The only thing missing was the Astros trading for Jim Edmonds just to be like, we are going to kill a player. Buy a ticket because somebody could die.
Yeah.
Oh, you like football?
It's the only way to get people to go to an Astros game. Time for the seventh inning gladiatorial combat.
Like, it was weird when Ian Snell requested a demotion to AAA, but like, if you were an Astros center fielder, I could see it. Like, no, you know what? I know this is already like a AAA baseball team anyway, but I just want to go to the minors. I do not feel safe. This is a workplace hazard.
Haha, joke's on you. Our AAA team plays in a shark tank.
Also, landmines.
Man, the park vectors are so hard to compute for this.
You know, you're going to have to rework all the important Colorado Springs park factors because they have a humidor now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, this year. Pretty much the same thing they have in Coors.
I'm working on that. It really irritates. This is totally a rant that nobody cares about, but it really irritates me that when parks change, like the Mets just brought in their fences like a ton that I found out about like yesterday, because I don't care about the National League and really don't care about the Mets, but other than when they suck, that's really funny. I really, really wish baseball would like, so like on their data files, each stadium has its own like unique ID, key. I really wish when stadiums would change significantly that they would change the key to indicate that this is basically now playing as a different stadium. I mean, they don't, and it makes sense that they don't because it's still the same stadium. But I'm like, no, there's like no easy way for me to programmatically tell a database or a website that like this is now completely different.
Well, so how many years do you take into account when you're calculating park factors?
3.
All right. So I guess you just have to manually change it for each individual.
Right. Which is like, I'm not going to do that. I don't care.
Well, I guess it's good. So this way your Citi Field park factors will be automatically regressed because they'll take into account 2 years of old Citi Field.
Yes.
And then
in 1 year of new Citi, which is like, and it was the same thing. Like it was born out of Cheney changing last year, but you know, staying the same stadium, even though it was totally rebuilt. So it was like, it's not really the same stadium, but it's called the same stadium. And it's, so it's like, ah, all the park factors are screwed up.
I'm going to be really interested in seeing what the new Marlins Park strikeout factor is. Cause I know that the old Marlins Park had like the highest strikeout park factor in baseball for some reason. And now they have that thing.
Yeah.
So it's not only interesting because it's a new stadium, but I'm genuinely interested now that I looked at the whole Jared Weaver thing. Like, I'm really interested to see what backgrounds can do. Like, maybe this really will make Steve Cishek, which is a side-arming baseball pitcher, like, good. Even more good.
Yeah.
Like, he's a right-handed side-armer, so you think bad against lefties, right? Well, maybe not.
Yeah, that also reminds me of, so there was the complaints coming out from some of the players that it was in the batting eye, especially against, like side-arming righties. And then I remember I was watching the ESPN broadcast, and they were mentioning, they were talking, obviously, you have to, about the thing. And there was an exchange of like, oh, man, could you – one of the announcers said, like, it's a good thing that's not in the batter's eye. And the next person replied, like, yeah, they did a lot of work to make sure that it didn't, which is amusing to me on two fronts because, one, no, apparently they didn't because it's still – because there are batters who are complaining. And two, how much work does it take to make sure it's not in the batter's eye? You have somebody stand at home plate and look and say, a little more to the left. Like,
nope,
it's not.
Nope. Yep.
It's not calculus or anything.
And, you know, even if it's not in the batter's eye, upon
you're
release,
still seeing it.
You'll still see it. And the ball will still cross the path, in theory. I don't know how high the walls are, but, like, the pitcher releases the ball, and then the ball, your vision of the ball, it's changing because you're following the ball towards home plate. If you're a left-hand batter, that ball is going to cross, I think, if I'm doing this mental stuff correctly. So it's still going to be in your field of vision, and there's a lot, like, let's not deny, there's a lot going on in that thing. Like, we're not dogs. We can see all of the colors in that thing, and there's a lot of them. There's, like, all of them. There's So right now I'm looking out the window, and there's a van. There's a creepy van. Like a van with no windows, parked up on the window, and it's just covered in paint. It's like a painting by that guy who just throws paint at canvases. You know?
Jackson Pollock.
Sure. So it looks like that. And well, actually, there's looks like the stick figure, but it's just like somebody just threw paint on this van. Every color, mostly purple, but every color is on this van. It's like I couldn't see a baseball coming out of that, and I wouldn't be able to hit it. And it's just like there's a lot. It's visually distracting, and you can't really train yourself for it because it's just there, and then you have to whatever. It's not my problem. Somebody's gonna get hit in the head and nuts to Greg Dubs.
Yeah, which whatever, he doesn't get a right to complain. You built a career out of pinch hitting really well, and then you know, yeah, started hitting really well.
I like how the memory of Greg Dobbs is just, oh, such a sweet swing, and I have no idea where that came from anymore. Was that like a quote, a manager quote, or was it just...
I think it's like a Rick Riz quote.
All right.
That's, well, I mean, that just sounds like something Rick Riz would say.
In any case, his entire reputation, or like legacy as a Mariner now, is probably just some throwaway quote that somebody said a few times about him. It's not like...
That and the first at-bat home run.
Right. And like hating him because I like Justin Leone more. Because he was better.
We'll never know.
I'm guessing Leone was a steroider. Let's go ahead and throw. I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry to throw you under the bus, but at least somebody's acknowledging you. Also, I think I already threw you under a car when we signed Adrian Beltre.
So. You did.
Really?
Well, I mean, no, not really. But in pictorial form.
Have you seen Justin Leone since?
No. No, okay. I have not.
Have you checked under my tires? Still little bits. Just little bits of
leaning. You should get those changed.
I'm acknowledging this on a public podcast.
I mean,
so.
Like, that was 7 years ago. You should change your tires more often.
Actually, well, I sold that car, so it's really somebody else with that Taurus. Just with bits of dead ball player and the tire wheels. Wheel well.
Well, then you're free and clear.
You can't trace it to me. Who killed Justin Leone? This motherfucker. Just ran him over. Killed a promising baseball career. If you think about it, it's Adrian Beltre's fault. Therefore, it's Bill Bavasi's fault. I can get Bill Bavasi thrown in jail for murder.
Well, where were you 6 years ago? Besides running over Justin Leone. You need to work faster on these things.
What's the statute of limitations for murder?
I don't know, like a day or something.
Oh, okay. Well, you ever talk long enough that you get lightheaded?
No, I don't.
Oh, uh-oh.